Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. And with me today, I have just the people on the show today. Sorry, I couldn't come up with a good thing in time. I have John Martellaro. I'm glad you're here, John.
Just sweet little me. That's all you have. Plus the wonderful Brian.
That's right.
I am not here.
You're not?
No. I am on Oriental Express. The Orient Express.
Oh, well, Brian, you tried so hard.
You have a great Skype connection then.
Yeah. Well, except for I'm not actually having this conversation either.
Which basically means that I have an incredibly vivid imagination.
Or it's just Siri with Brian's voice.
Yes, you do. Powerful imagination.
Incredibly powerful. And I'm glad to share my podcasting fantasies with the rest of the world. And awkward.
We won't go there.
No. All right. Instead of awkward, how about we dive into a topic? And that topic is Apple and the environment. And I bring this up because the news came out yesterday that Apple is investing $848 million in a massive, it's like 2,600 acre, something like that, solar array farm that First Solar is building. And this will start construction in the middle of this year and be done at the end of 2016. Apple is going to, for their investment, be able to get 130 megawatts out of this farm. So basically what they're doing is they're buying into a solar farm that will earn them enough energy credits to pay for all of their power usage for all of their operations in California. So that means all their corporate campus facilities, all of their retail stores, server farms, whatever it is that they have, they will have enough power coming out of what they're buying in the solar farm to cover that. And then the other 150 megawatts that's going to come out of this facility will just get sold directly back to PG&E. And
now, is Apple going to be the full owner of this facility?
No, they're buying into the facility, and they're buying in for 25 years worth of power.
You know what I like about this is that there's a meme that big companies chew up the planet to make money for their own benefit and leave the planet in a state of mess. And Apple recognizes, this is the cool thing about Tim Cook and Apple executives. They recognize that and they say, well, look, you know, we're a wealthy company. We're doing very well. But we have a responsibility to do a payback and protect the planet and contribute back to this environment that has made us so successful. And I really like that philosophy. Pleases me greatly.
Can I riff on that tangent?
Sure, Mr. Fantasy Man.
Apple is a corporation in the United States of America. The traditional narrative is that corporations cannot make money and mess about with all that green stuff. That being green is incompatible with making a profit. That being green is incompatible with shareholder value. That being green is incompatible for the best interests of the shareholder, because it's much more important to make a profit than to actually do the right thing. That is essentially the narrative of the last several decades of modern society. Would you two agree with that?
Yes.
I would, and I would also say that apparently Tim Cook did not get that memo.
Yeah, Apple is, you know, the most profitable company in history at this point. This $18 billion that Apple made in the December quarter of 2014 is a corporate all-time record. And
not just Apple.
Yeah, record. Corporate.
Everyone record.
And everyone, like, more than the energy giants, more than all these companies who have adhered to this notion that being green is not profitable and that being green cannot be profitable. Here's Apple essentially saying this is not true, that there are many places where we can do the right thing, where we can do the right thing not only for us but for the planet, for the communities in which we operate and sell our goods and make our goods and design our goods and still be profitable, still make enormous amounts of money. And you know, keep in mind too, they're doing stuff in Asia where they're like developing ways for their suppliers, not their own factories, but their suppliers, the companies that they contract out to, they're busily working on ways of reducing the amount of water that's consumed, reducing the amount of pollutants and stuff that go back into the water system. You know, they're doing all these things that are like light years deeper and further ahead than is required by local regulations.
Warms the cockles of our heart.
Yeah, they're doing all this stuff because it's the right thing to do, and they're making a lot of money.
Yes, they are.
It's a good way to spend the money they have. I'm hoping. Well, one backtrack. The thing we were talking about before the show was how Apple's Campus 2 puts in a big strain on California's resources in terms of water and electricity, and this move helps offset any resentment towards Apple's spaceship campus. I was also thinking that if they're going to spend $848 million on solar production, then maybe they could do that again and have a solar-powered desalinization plant help with the local water supply and the drought. Then you got the water solved and the electricity solved too. That would be great.
Well, you know, I don't think that – you know, the problem, John, with most desalinization efforts – most desalinization technology is not finding the power or even making the power green. It's simply that it costs so much in power that it is cost prohibitive to do the operation in the first place. So rather than focusing on doing solar power for desalinization, I think it would be really awesome if Apple were to maybe back Dean Kamen's new water thingy. Did you guys catch that?
That would be an interesting move for Apple. And yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's a relatively small, so somewhat portable. Well, they call it portable, but somewhat portable desalinization system.
It's a very localized solution.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's the sort of thing that you would take into a small town somewhere where they don't have a good water system.
And yeah, you could put any kind of water, salt water, wastewater, you know, actual sewage,
mm-hmm.
and get and clean
drinkable
water
out the other end.
Yeah, it's possibly one of the biggest things that Dean Kamen has done yet, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that is saying something.
But I get what you're saying, John, about maybe doing some kind of solar power for desalinization. But that's like short term stuff. It'd be really cool if Apple could in some way participate in something bigger. And I think that Apple is participating in something bigger with all these energy investments in the first place.
Sure. Yeah, and don't forget the Campus 2 project. The entire top of the spaceship is going to be solar panels.
Yeah, and so, it's still going to look cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they were planning on having that facility self-sustaining as far as electricity needs go from the very beginning.
You could say this is innovation with a payoff, as opposed to, you know, gadgets that please the writers.
Well, this, you know, it's interesting you say that, John. It kind of feeds in to the death knell piece that I did this week, looking at. You know, faith-based belief in Apple's impending doom.
By the way, faith-based belief. That is awesome.
And we'll probably talk about that in ACM today.
Sure.
Don't think, Jeff?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, people who think that people who have this irrational belief that Apple isn't innovating. This all these investments in alternative power generation, That is innovation. Yeah, it, ignoring all the stuff, all the products that we normally think of innovation, Touch ID and Apple Pay and HomeKit and HealthKit and Apple Watch and you know all of the ignoring those things, the stuff that Apple is doing with its money, with these plants, with this stuff in its supply chain where it's really looking at green issues. Apple is an incredibly innovative company.
Yes, they absolutely are. And you bring up what I think is a very important point that a lot of people, a lot of analysts, a lot of pundits are very myopic about their ideas on innovation. And they're forgetting that innovation is more than just the next tablet or the next smartwatch. And Apple is innovating in some amazing ways on a corporate level.
Yes.
And also yes. Helps in some small fashion protect against natural disasters too. With global warming, you get stronger storms, you get power outages. Apple's moving a second center to Arizona to make sure that if there's something bad happening in California, an earthquake or something, Apple continues to function. And it contributes back to the power situation in California if the normal power systems get into trouble. So it really kind of makes good sense for Apple to protect its future.
Apple right now is making the kind of infrastructure investments that have traditionally been in the realm of government.
Yes, that's
a good point. That's a good point.
And note that Apple has the kind of money, you know, I'm not saying not entirely the kind of money, but Apple is beginning to have the kinds of money that have also been in the realm of government. And with the government finding it so difficult to make common sense investments in our own infrastructure, and I'm sorry, and I'm talking about the U.S. here, in our own infrastructure and in our own future, because of bizarre thoughts. With that happening, it's fascinating that Apple is stepping up to do some of those things itself to meet its own needs.
What Apple is saying is that you're wrong if you think the future can't get better if we can't take care of ourselves, if we can't dig ourselves out of a hole and be productive. Look what we're doing.
Yeah. Yes. Apple is, in my opinion, Apple is turning, as I was essentially saying earlier, decades, if not two centuries worth of philosophy on what a corporation should do and be and how it should operate, turning all that completely on its head.
Oh,
it's
absolutely
awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve Jobs said he wanted to make a dent in the universe. And he wanted to set Apple up to last for over 100 years. And these are the kinds of things that tell me that that what he wanted is what he's been able to achieve.
Remember that film? I don't know if it was a film. I don't even know what it was recorded for. But Albert Einstein, he's got this, what I believe is a foam platform, and then he rolls a heavy metal ball into it. He's trying to demonstrate how time and space can curve.
Mm-hmm.
Have y'all seen, John, are you familiar with that?
I haven't seen that particular one, but I know what you're talking about.
So, you know, he's got that ball and he just, you know, rolls the ball in the middle of this large foam thing. And of course the foam bends around where the ball is sitting. And, you know, and as the ball moves, the foam is moving with it. And at this point, Apple is becoming that steel ball. And the universe, at least the universe of Earth and the universe of mankind, is feeling Apple's enormous presence.
Yes.
And I like it.
And what a big change from only a few years ago when articles about Apple included terms like beleaguered.
And, well, you know, we still have Apple is doomed articles, though. That's, but they don't have beleaguered. That's true. They don't have. We just have doomed because they can't innovate. That's the faith. That's the current. That's the current church of I'm going to believe that Apple is doomed despite all evidence to the contrary. Yeah,
that's that Beverly Crusher warp bubble I was talking about yesterday.
Yeah,
is a narrow mindedness failure to understand the Apple's as a corporation in every aspect of what it does.
Yeah, if only Apple could do something about one of the biggest sources of pollution in the world and
you mean like automobiles.
Yeah,
if only. Yeah, and oh, that brings up an interesting point, Brian.
Oh, does it?
Yes, it does. Because as I recall, yesterday you wrote a piece about how you have sources that are backing up the notion that Apple is working on a car.
Yeah, I was working on this story for a couple of weeks, and got beat to the punch by a Business Insider who published a letter from an Apple employee, someone claiming to be an Apple employee. I have no idea the links to which Business Insider went or did not go to verifying that. But their piece was that we're working on something that will give Tesla a run for its money. And that completely falls in line with the story I was already working on, where I had been told that Apple was working on a car and that Apple's been hiring the kinds of employees. And this is the thing, this is the thing that I think that some of our own readers didn't. Well, actually, I kind of feel like they didn't read the article. That Apple has been hiring the kinds of people that are really only going to be making cars.
Well, in their defense, Brian, reading an article has never been a requirement to commenting on its content.
It's true, but these are some of our longest. These are some of our most awesome readers. So it was kind of I was kind of surprised by that. But because there was a Bloomberg did a piece last week saying that that Apple and Tesla were in a hiring war. And that Tesla was winning, that Tesla had some 150 former Apple employees, while Apple had some 50 former Tesla employees.
Well, if you're going by just numbers, sure. But if you go by what each company is going to be able to do with those employees, well, that battle hasn't been won yet.
Yeah, because my understanding is that there are some. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth. I went into this in the article. In Silicon Valley, all companies are. Ever since the anti-poaching agreements got sidelined by the courts, it's so funny that Steve Jobs and Eric Schmidt thought they could get away with that.
It is pretty funny.
You know what appeals to me about an Apple car is that it's a solution to another problem. Remember in days around 2003, 2004, Phil Schiller and all the Apple executives were so frustrated with their so-called smartphones, their Blackberries, their Trios, and whatever. They were a real pain in the butt to use. And so Apple said, we're going to fix this. And then with Apple Pay, Apple came along and said, this is a consumer issue and a problem we need to deal with now. And so they fixed that. Well, we're coming up on a lease expiration in a year, and we're not really fond of Toyota because of all the things they did covering up their unintended braking and acceleration issues. They were fined a lot of money. And the Nissan Leaf, has a range of about 90 miles. That's not quite enough. And you look around at all the options that you have for hybrids or pure electric cars, and you kind of get the feeling they're just not there yet. You really need about a 200-mile range on an electric car, and you want it to charge fast. But the premier version of that is a Tesla S, and it's $70,000. So I perceive that there's an opportunity there for Apple to come out with a great car that pleases you, protects you, gives you good range, and has advanced technology. I think it's another one of those social problems that Apple could very well be thinking about attacking.
It's very possible, and while I would love to carry this conversation further right now. We can't because we're out of time. So how about instead, Brian, if you and I pick this up and go even more in depth about Apple's potential car plans on Apple Context Machine this afternoon?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And that'll be published later today too. And this today being Wednesday.
Awesome. Okay. So, so listeners, you get a twofer today because you'll get even more when you listen to Apple Context Machine later today. So Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh yeah.
Even if it was only a fantasy version of you.
I know. I'm not actually here.
But you are in my mind. And John, thank you for being here in reality.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us again today. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.